So it's all right. Say it's all right. It's all right. Hey, you know what you should do? Trust God. Trust God. That's what we're talking about today. Let's trust God. Isaiah 26:4 says this. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. How many of you've ever felt a little sloshy in life before? You're like, man, I need some firm footing, and I just feel everywhere I turn just feels like things aren't steady. And God is your rock. So this is saying that you need to trust Him because He's the eternal rock. He's the rock forever and ever. He's not going anywhere. Amen? Whatever the situation in life, God is still that rock. So the word we're going to look at today is trust. Very, very little of the Hebrew word here, but it's the Hebrew word batah. So trust, the Hebrew word batah, the word means a sense of well-being and security. That's interesting. That results from having someone, something, or someone in whom to place confidence. It means to live at ease because of confidence in God. Let me say that last line again. Follow along with me. It means to live at ease because of confidence in God. If you look up trust in your dictionaries and stuff, it's going to talk a lot about confidence, you know, placing confidence in something. But the biblical version of trust goes just beyond the confidence. It even encompasses the security, the safety that when we trust in the Lord, we have safety in Him. Amen? When we trust in the Lord, there's security. Amen? And it permeates our soul. It means a sense or a feeling of well-being and security. It's trust in the Lord soothes our soul. It satisfies our soul because we're leaning into the confidence that we have in Him. Trent Butler says, batah means to feel strong and secure. And it often appears in prayers of the Psalms. About a third of it is in the Psalms, the use of that word. It points to a strong reliance on something for security. My question today, where's your security at? What are you putting your trust in? Right? Where are you getting? Now, look at this Hebrew word. It encompasses. It's not just the logical reality that God is trustworthy, right? We always use the chair, you know, for faith or trust or whatever. Well, I have confidence that it's going to hold me, so I go sit down in it, right? That's logical. The Hebrew word is even more than that. It encompasses my soul. Like, there's this security in the knowing that God is reliable and trustworthy. So my question is, where are you getting your soul security from? And I would venture to guess, if you're like me, a lot of us are finding other things that we put, not in place of God, we would never think of it like that, but we tend to get our safety and security from things other than God. Trusting in the Lord means we can be confident in Him and be secure in knowing that He is who He says He is, that He's the rock, and He's the eternal rock. He's not just until next Tuesday, until the rent's due rock. He's the rock eternal. Amen? The rock eternal. Look at this verse in Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10. It says, the Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. He's a stronghold in times of trouble. Do you see the language of strength and safety there? Think about strength and safety. That's what, when we think of trust, we often don't always think of these words, but these words are baked into the Hebrew meaning of that word batah, trust. He's a refuge for the oppressed. He's a strong, I highlighted them for you so that you can see them. It's big, yellow, slashy things. Refuge and a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name trust, they batah, they trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. He's our safety. He's our security. He's our refuge. He's that place where we, and I'll find myself at different times in life when the Lord's getting a hold of my heart, I'll find myself being a little shaken, and I ask myself the question, what am I putting trust in right now? What do I need to feel secure right now? And if God isn't at the top of that list, then I've got an issue. And that's happened more than once in my life. God, help me to get my eyes back on you, to trust in you, to get my security from you. Because it's real easy to farm that out to easier things to get our security from. And so the Lord is saying, trust in me. And in that last line there, it doesn't say you've never forsaken us. It says you've never forsaken those who seek you, those who seek the Lord. So look at someone, say, seek the Lord. Man, there is so much benefit to keeping our hearts trained on him, keeping our hearts pointed towards him. He won't disappoint us. He won't forsake us. He won't leave us. I lost the quote where this was from, so there's a quote, but it's from someone, from some theological commentary or something. But it says, we find true stability in this unstable world only when we trust in God. To trust is to be confident, to possess a strong sense of security. When we trust, we place confidence in someone or something. Trust is not an emotion that springs up in our hearts, as does anger or jealousy or sadness. It's always a choice based on reason. We use evidence and we use discernment to conclude that this man or this bank or this investment is trustworthy. And we know that our God is trustworthy. He's reliable, and he's our rock. Amen? So sometimes churchy things sound really good, and you're all like, amen! All right? And then we leave here, and then we're like, what does that really mean? Or we find that it's more difficult than the preacher said it was going to be. I'm telling you, this can be difficult sometimes. You have to make a conscious choice. You have to choose. Say, I choose. You have to make a choice. You have to determine, based upon the reliability of the character and nature of who God is and the truth that he loves you and me, as Jerry shared with us this morning, that I'm going to choose to take my heart that wants to just find some safety and put it in God. And it's hard because we can't see him, right? We can't physically, so that takes some faith. But God is faithful. He responds to us as we seek him in those moments. So this isn't always easy, but it's always good. And he's always trustworthy. He's our rock. All right. The rest of this section of this is about trusting the Lord, finding our safety and security in him, and not finding it in something else. But it's about the biggest enemy to trust that you and I have in our frail humanness. And it's managing our heart and our soul. That's going to be the big key to whether we're going to stay trusting the Lord. That it's not the only thing, but it's one of the fear and anxiety are robbers of trust. And the Lord's called us to walk in peace and to walk in faith. And when fear and anxiety rise up, those voices are loud and they're familiar. And they feel at times trustworthy. They bring us down, and they're defeating. But we listen to them a lot of times, don't we? Don't we, church? We do. Everyone say yuck, yuck. But we do. We listen to that fear that's in us. So if we're going to walk in trust, there is such a blessing in trusting the Lord. We had a very, very short message last week. Anyone remember what we talked about last week? Hope. I have hope for the past, I have hope for now, and I've got hope for the future. Let's read some in Psalms 33. It says, we wait in what? Hope. Can you see that? We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. The rest of that says, in him our hearts rejoice, for we do what? We trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. It's this act of trust. It's an act of the will. It results in this feeling of security and safety, but it's an act of volition. It's a choice. That's what trust is. Hope is this expectancy of good things coming from the Lord. I expect. It's not just I hope this works. I'm looking for, hope is I'm looking for good things. So hope and trust work in tandem. They work together. And so part of managing our hearts is staying in hope. You've got to keep your hope level up. What's that song, Trisha? Get your hopes up. Is that what it is? I hope it's working. That's not what the song is saying. It's get your hopes, get your expectancy up that God is doing good things. I believe He is, and I want to see it. Lord, turn our hearts to something good. All right, we're looking for it. And as that hope is filling our hearts, it gives us the power then to displace the fear. But when we become hopeless, no amount of emotional management is going to work. So we got to keep our hope level up. We got to keep expecting that God is good and that He's doing good things. He hasn't forgotten about us. He's maybe not moving on my timetable. He's maybe not moving in the way that I think He should. But then because I've got hope for God to do something, I cannot listen to the voice of fear and I can trust. I can make that choice to find my security in the Lord. Because in these dark times, anyone ever been through dark times before? Anyone ever been through a rough patch? Nobody? Okay, good. Great. Wish I had your life. When you go through these dark times, you gotta trust in the Lord. You're gonna trust in something. It might as well be in the Lord who can actually bring some deliverance in these things. So look at that. The same verse here. In Him, our hearts
rejoice.
What are we gonna do?
Rejoice.
How are we gonna do it?
Poorly.
In Him, our hearts. Oh, that was so good. And just like that, I'm glad that happened, because the rejoicing of your hearts is a lot like that. It's a choice. The rejoicing of your hearts is a lot like what just took place. Hey, what are you doing today?
Rejoicing in the Lord.
Come on. Sometimes we need get my heart to be looking with eyes of hope and start rejoicing in Him because I trust in His holy name. You see, the psalmist is going to continue. We've got a lot of verses, but there's a ton of them that talk about, because I trust, because I'm looking, I set my attitude, I set my heart, I manage my emotions because of the fact that I can trust in the Lord. You can trust in God when you're walking through these dark times, and He can be your security and safety. So many other things are like, no, trust me, I can fix it. And we do that because it's easier. And then we end up filled with bad emotions and unstable when the Lord's asking us to put our confidence in Him. Put our security in Him, and we will be blessed. May Your unfailing love be with us as we even put our hope in You. Look at Psalm 13. It says this in verses 5 and 6. But I trust in Your unfailing love. I will what? Rejoice, because You've rescued me. I will sing to the Lord, because He's good to me. I will sing to the Lord, because He's good to me. That's part of emotional management. Oh, little teaching moment here as I'm teaching. You guys, if you want to deal with your fear, anxiety, depression, bitterness, anger, sing to the Lord. Get your eyes off of your own yuck. We all got a bucket of yuck and we don't need it, but we like to carry it around because I don't know what else to do with it. If you're carrying your bucket of yuck, set it down, put your hands up, and praise the Lord. That could be a preschool lesson. A lot of us adults haven't got it yet. Set down your bucket of yuck and lift your hands and praise the Lord. Sense of VBS song coming out of this. Right? As funny as it is, wouldn't that be a cool thing if we actually practiced that? I trust in Your unfailing love. I will rejoice. I will. Maybe some days you're starting with an I will. You're not there yet. Come on, church. You ever had an I will day? You're not quite there yet. You're still maybe kind of just setting down your bucket of yuck. But I tell you what, an I will replace a bucket of yuck every time. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will sing to the Lord. Like I'm commanding my soul to get out of its funk and to not let the other voices be so loud, because I'm turning my eyes to Jesus, because I trust in Him. He's my safety. He's my security. He's where I can keep my feet planted.
Psalm 28 says this, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all of my heart. He helps me and my heart is filled with joy." Oh, and what happens because of that? I burst out. Sometimes I've bursted out before. Even it hasn't been. But that's what happens when you take a verse out of context. You burst out, but it's not the right bursting out. You got to finish the psalm here. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. Some of you guys need some bursting out. That's not the kind that you're used to. This kind. Bursting out in songs of thanksgiving. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about trust in the Lord. And it's a commandment from Scripture, but it's tough to manage. But the benefits are phenomenal. And if you want to walk through a tough season, you need to learn to trust in the Lord. If you want to walk out of this life in Christ at all, you need to learn to trust in the Lord. When things are coming at you, you need to learn to trust in the Lord. When I'm not feeling so good, you need to learn to trust in the Lord. Put your confidence in him. Eyes of hope, looking forward, looking for what God's doing, saying, I'm not going to carry my bucket of yuck. I'm going to set that down, and I'm going to look for what the Lord is doing in the middle of all this. I'm going to be careful, as we prayed from Trisha's verse this morning. I'm not going to let my mouth do the talking on things that are ungodly and corrupt. I love that it says corrupt. Man, the word of God is not corrupt. It's truth and it's joy. And it says, I will rejoice and I will burst forth in song. I will sing to the Lord. Sometimes your mouth is moving. Sometimes you need to stop that and go, wait, let's change the track. All right, now I'm going to move my mouth again, but it's going to be songs of praise. It's going to be songs of thanksgiving. How could I sing a song of thanksgiving when I feel like this? Well, it's because you feel like that is why you need to sing the song of thanksgiving. Okay, no fear. No fear. Fear is the loudest voice when we're trying to trust the Lord. When we're in seasons of darkness, fear is the loudest voice. We fear about our own inabilities, our insecurities. Fear about, we heard it this morning, the loss of the familiar, right? If we're moving forward, it means we're not staying the same. And sometimes we get really, really comfortable with how things are. Fear of other people's opinions or criticism or ridicule, right? As we're trusting the Lord, but then people are saying, we heard that already this morning too. Fear of a lack. I'm going to have lack of resources in this. There's a thousand things that the voice of fear is really good. It's really has a great vocabulary, has great words, and they're all death. Psalm 112, verses 4 through 7 says this, "Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright." Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. "For those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous," hold on. If you've ever been in a dark season, that is not permission for you to no longer be gracious and compassionate and righteous. If you knew what I was going through, not saying that there's not room for compassion, but remember, let's keep our character godly, and God will respond to that. Light dawns for the upright, for those who, if you want light to dawn, if you're in a dark season and you want to see some light, make sure that we're being gracious and compassionate and righteous. And I get it from walking through the last 2 weeks. That's hard sometimes because you're like, I can't even manage the next 5 minutes. But it's so important to keep your hearts in the right place, to keep walking with the Lord. "Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord." Here's that last paragraph. "Surely the righteous will never be shaken." That's a promise from the Lord. They'll be remembered forever. They will have what? No fear. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. If you're managing your emotions, you're looking with eyes of hope, and that's helping you to cultivate, you can push out the fear. Because I'll tell you what, that temptation's always there. It's always there. That temptation, that voice is always there. It's always chattering. And a guy by the name of Gregory Jantz, I don't know who that is, but I've got one of his books. And he just, I just love the, I have not read the whole book, but I read this section, and I just love how he wrote, and he's talking about fear. The voice, the book is called Overcoming Anxiety, Worry, and Fear. And he writes this little section in here, and he's talking about the voice of fear. This section is the voice of anxiety, but same thing, the voice of fear, this nervousness about the future when I'm not trusting in the Lord, right? The enemy of trust in the Lord. He says this. He says, anxieties speak a language of absolutes, right? Fear says, for sure. Fear says, for sure, absolutely, for sure. Absolutely. Fear says, a possibility is a certainty. What could, will. What might, will. Have you ever been stuck in a fear pattern and you're like, I just know this is going to happen. Oh, and then that's going to happen. And pretty soon you're so lathered up and just in a corner shaking and you don't curled up in a fetal position. You don't even know what to do next. That's the voice of anxiety. That's the voice of fear. It's saying, oh yeah, trust me, this is going to happen. You see what it's saying? Trust me. Trust me. That's what fear is saying. But if anxiety speak a language of, just follow him with this. This is a little weird, but just hang on. It's good. If anxieties speak a language of absolutes, it's not a universal language. Some words are not translatable. Anxiety does not have a word for peace. It does not have a word for relief. It does not have a word for rest. It's a language of negativity, of hopelessness, of despair. Anxiety and fear is a language of defeat. Anxieties force us to surrender before the true battle is even engaged. He says this, instead of trusting in the catastrophe of today and the terror of tomorrow, God asks you to trust in him. Come on, church. As you continue to examine your anxiety and what effect it's had on your life, transfer as much trust as you can from your anxiety because you're trusting in something. If you're listening to the voice of fear, you don't just have these emotions, you're trusting in them. You're trusting in the voice of anxiety and fear. You're putting your trust in that future to come to pass for you. That's what that fear is. He says, you've trusted in your anxiety's capacity to cause you grief, fear, and stress. Listen to this line. Take a part of that trust, turn it over to God. I like that. I like that he knows we're human. He says, just start with a little nugget of it. Take part of that trust that you've been trusting in this voice of fear. Start moving it over to trusting in the Lord. Trust him to be with you through this journey, to know the face of your fear, to be strong enough to help you overcome it, and loving enough to deeply desire to help you. David Jeremiah, he says this, to trust in him, to trust in God, is to respond in faith to his faithfulness. In the middle of our storm, I can trust in God because he's been faithful to me. It looks dark now, but he can do it. There's a couple guys. I don't know who these guys are, but I'm going to read you just a little nugget of their book, and it's a little story, and then I've got one more story, then we're about done. But Dennis and Jennifer Clark, they've got a ministry on the East Coast in the Carolinas, I think. So I just wanted to give you some context for that. So they're in a car on a trip somewhere, and it doesn't really matter, but things were going bad, right? They're on a ministry trip, they're trying to do good things, and things were conking out and feeling bad. And so here's what they said. Guys, there is a couple of nuggets in here you really want to leave with today. So this is just their story. It says, we encountered one difficult situation after another. The computer crashed, our car window was smashed in a robbery, and our GPS was stolen, and the hotel room flooded. Each time, listen to this, each time we stayed in peace, we saw God move in marvelous ways. Let me read that again. Each time that we stayed in peace, we saw God move in marvelous ways. In situations that look dire to us, God delights in working on our behalf when we maintain the right attitude. They go on and they say this, peace is evidence that our heart is aligned with the will of God. When we have peace, we are connected with God's kingdom and his purposes. Listen, every time we trust God and don't give in to fear, we stay in peace. A heart at peace positions us so God can move on our behalf. Come on. A heart at peace positions us so that God can move on our behalf. The peace in your heart that really comes from God is then a conduit. You guys know how lightning works? This just came into my head. There's all this lightning last night. Did you know that there's a lightning strike that you don't even see? How does it go? Does it go from the ground up first and then the lightning comes down? But there's this pre-strike. Like that sets the pathway, then the lightning follows that back down, I think. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's how it works. If not, just give me a minute. I'll come up with another analogy. But that's the one that popped into my head. But there's this pre-run. So this peace that comes from God then becomes the conduit for God to move. Hold on. Soak this in, church. This is so important. When I was doing this message, like, you guys, you got to get this point. The peace that really comes from God. And you know what can offset the peace? Fear. Listening to the voice of fear. You got to take a stand against fear. You've got to manage your emotions. Now, there's a place for you to cry out, as David did, of what you're feeling. I'm not saying you can't ever feel that way. But if you want to walk solidly before the Lord through a dark time, through any time, really, you've got to manage fear and anxiety. And then peace is able to settle into your heart. And we choose to not trust fear. I choose to not trust that storyline that keeps playing over and over in my head. And I choose to trust the Lord. I get in His Word. I find out what He's saying about things. I remember His character. I recount the times before when He's come through for me. We share testimonies. We've had prophetic words that Marnie has pulled out. She's like, this is what's happening in our life. This was like 9 years ago, and God's doing this right now. Just realize that this is what's going on. That was a prophetic word from 9 years ago, or whatever it is. And we recount those things, and we recall God's faithfulness. Well, Marnie and I will do that. You remember how God, we didn't know how we were going to get through this, and God showed up. We didn't know that we could manage this, and God came through for us. That's why testimonies are so important. You think it's about you, or like, tell us what God did for you. It is, but it's really for us. It's really for us, for our hearts to be encouraged. For sometimes our hope glasses are falling off. We need to get our eyes of hope back on, and we hear those testimonies that encourages our heart. We get excited about what God's doing then, because I'm feeling all these emotions. I'm feeling this fear, and when that peace is allowed to settle in our heart, that's that pre-strike, right? That's that lightning strike that you can't see. Then the flash comes after that. We're waiting for God to move. As the peace settles into our heart, God's attracted to that. God flows through that as we stay in peace. As we stay in peace. This is just a thought. Some of you, like, peace might be a foreign concept. Just pray to the Lord. Maybe buy a book on peace. Get in the Word. Search for peace in the Bible. Like, I don't know that I've ever really, I just kind of constantly just live in this. That's not putting you down. That's saying, and that's inviting you into what the Lord has. Peace. Amen? I'm going to end with a story, well, kind of end, pre-end. I'm going to do my first ending with a story about these guys. That is Dave and Jeannie Kaufman. They are essentially our pastors. They pastor down in Brookings. It's where we go to our pastors' conferences. They did some of our pre-marriage counseling. They've walked through dark times. All kinds of, potentially life-ending cancer diagnosis. Dave has come through, and their child, like, just on and on and on and on. They've lived it. They've walked through it. And so we get a text from them in January, and it says, hey, we're in Amsterdam. They had gone to India. We're in Amsterdam. We're all right. I'm like, oh, good? So didn't know this. So they sent us a link to a news story, and this was the hotel that they were in. They'd been doing some meetings, and, they're guests in the country, and so they got put up on the fifth floor and kind of the nice suite or whatever, and so they were back and just laying down just to take a little nap, and they had meetings that night that they had to travel a number of hours to get to, and travel is a little different over there, and so they all of a sudden they started smelling smoke, and then the power went out, and so Dave was like, what is going on? So he goes over to the door, feels the door, and opens it up, pitch black, and just smoke rolls in. So he quick slams the door. They grab some towels and get them wet and stuff it under the door. They're up on the fifth floor. There's no escape. They can't jump out. Like, they don't know what to do. The Lord tells them, put your shoes on. So they do. And so they just start worshiping the Lord. They're in the middle of a burning building, potentially to meet their maker. And they're just worshiping. Their cell phones still worked, so they called their host, who was staying in the hotel room next door. He had busted the window open because he couldn't get his window open. They were able to get their window open, so they're hanging out the window to get air. And smoke's filling the room, and it's pitch black in the hallway. And it's intense. And so these little fire trucks show up. Woo! And the water can't make it to, like, the third floor. So they're just out of luck. There's no one else to call. They're just done. And so they're talking to the guy a few rooms down. They had been moved to a different room, so nobody knew where they were at. And so all the hotel staff was just running around saying, where's the Americans? Where's the Americans? And they want to make sure that they're going to get out of there. So at one point, they had thought of trying to find an emergency exit, but they had moved rooms and they weren't sure where it is. Came to find out later, the emergency exit was locked. They would have got out into the hallway, been overcome with smoke, found the door, would not been able to get out, and they would have died. So they're praying. They're singing to the Lord. They're just staying in peace. Staying in peace. And they give their testimony. And I know them. And I know this is true. They just sing songs to the Lord. Stay in peace. Make another phone call. Stay in peace. It ended up being about 35 minutes, I think, that they were up there. I don't know if you've ever waited for something. 35 minutes might as well be 300 years, right? Especially, like, you know you're going to die. The building's on fire. An electrical fire had happened, and it was spreading through the rest of the building. So intense. Someone had climbed up the outside of the building and took an axe and got through the emergency exit door. And then the staff, they could hear stuff going on. And the staff was running up, and they would pound on a couple doors, and they wouldn't hear anything. They had handkerchiefs over their face. There's no equipment or anything. And then run back down. And so they went. Finally, they heard them getting a little closer. And so they didn't want to open up the door much because there's so much smoke, just black. And he's, we're here, we're here. Close the door. They wait for just a little bit. All of a sudden, the door pounds. They put the wet rags over their face. They move the towel. They open the door. And he said it was just a wall of black and a wall of smoke. And a hand reached out, grabbed them, took them down the hallway. He said, we wouldn't have gotten there. We would have went the wrong way. The door would have been locked anyways. So they got them to the door and got them out. And managed it. It was all broken glass in there. So the Lord had told them to put their shoes on, you know, so they didn't get cut up from that. And so that's a picture of them on the Indian news. And so they get out, and they're speaking in tongues. So they're walking around speaking in tongues, and Jeannie is, and just, you know, just glorifying the Lord that they're alive. Trust in the Lord, but stay in peace. Don't let the voice of fear come up. Look at this verse, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. You guys, the only one in charge of your mind is you. You get to decide what you think about. And if you just put that bugger on cruise control, you're going to be in a world of hurt. And so choose to fix your thoughts on Jesus, especially in the tough times where the voice of fear is so loud. And this is, I had to message Jeannie and get the exact phrase, because when Dave was in India 8 years ago, maybe, the village that he was in, the whole village went through a revolt. The government was being overthrown in that, I don't know, state, whatever, the province or whatever it was. And so the whole city's on fire. And they're killing people. And so it doesn't matter which side you're on. You show your face on this. So the fire, like, fires are, like, it's just, they got to get out of the city. And so Dave calls Jeannie, who's in the States, calls her. There's a point to all this. Calls her and says he doesn't want to put fear in her, but it's potentially the last time he'll ever talk to his wife on this earth. And so he just said, hey, there's a little trouble here, kind of downplayed everything. We're hoping that we can get out of town or whatever. Just want to let you know we're safe. And so this was Jeannie's response. Dave, maintain peace. Dave, maintain peace.
Stay with peace, because we know when you stay in peace, that's the conduit for God to move. Stay in peace. Don't let fear get a hold of you. Don't run ahead. Don't lag behind. Stay in peace. Maintain peace. She said, we've heard this testimony a couple times and over, I just said over and over, Dave, maintain peace. Maintain peace. Maintain, like, she doesn't know how severe it is, but she knows that something's afoot and knows that, that he probably wouldn't tell her the whole story. So just, that's her words of life to him. Dave, maintain peace. They were able to somehow covertly get in some vehicle and escape all the riots and made it home. But maintain peace. And so if Dave and Jeannie were here, they would say, focus on Jesus. Don't let fear get a hold of you and worship the Lord. Sing to the Lord. Use your mouth and sing to the Lord. When you're in those situations, sing to the Lord and maintain peace. Last verse for today. Nope, sorry, two more. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and what? Not be afraid. Because he's my salvation. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He's become my salvation. And our very last verse for the day. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and with peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Guys, if you want to come out on the other side of your trial or dark time, if you want to come out well, you just heard it all day. Go back, I mean, watch it on video. This is scripture. These are nuggets of truth that are going to help silence that loud voice that seems so familiar and so real in your head. Oh, this isn't going to work out. This is going to be bad. Oh, playing those scenarios over in your mind. I will call upon the Lord who is... I don't know why that song jumped in my head right now, but... Is that what it was? Like, I haven't heard that song for 20 years, and that's what it was. But have these songs in your heart. They're not just for church. Come on, they're for our lives so that we can manage our hearts and keep our eyes turned on Jesus and stay in peace. Maintain peace, church. Maintain peace. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for the blessing of God. I thank you for peace in troubled times. God, I thank you that your goal for us is to walk in victory. Lord, we can't do that if we're slave to our emotions. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to manage that well. Help us to be good servants. Help us to be good listeners. Pray for the glory of God to be present in us today. In Jesus' name, amen.